Well, we're certainly glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in. Today is Monday. It's January 16th, 2012. And I'm sitting here with some notes in front of me thinking, where do I even begin? Some of you that have tuned in on a regular basis on Wednesday, Pastor Jason Schiffo's in the studio, and it's like we have revival going on because we're talking about our favorite scripture passages, what the Lord's teaching us, some new insights or some nuggets from our readings, and we just get all fired up when we're talking and talking and talking. I'm saying, hey, we got to get on the air here. Well, the same is happening with a special guest that I hope to introduce you to in just a moment, but I want to do a little house cleaning and update you on some things. And Pastor Randy Gauger gave a fantastic message on Sunday, and it's like I feel like I want to give out seven of the points that he covered. I want to read a passage out of 2 Corinthians that I think is meaningful, and I want to do a couple shout-outs to some friends. So, and that's not even talking about Jennifer Garan that I'll interview, and it might be one of these where I just can already tell with her testimony and the way God's working in and through her life and some of what she was able to share about the different unique things she did this past May or June in Amman, Jordan, and her tour through Israel, and something that she will be involved in at Parkland College on February 4th. So we'll see how all that comes together. And as many of you know, when I have Jason in the studio, I start promising all these things I'm going to talk about, and then we run out of time. So there's a chance that already knowing that I have a lot to cover, that Jennifer may return again tomorrow. But let me first do a couple little shout-outs. I had a very interesting dinner with some very good friends this past weekend, and you've heard me talk about Loria Griff's spaghetti. Well, she made spaghetti once again. It's her world-famous spaghetti, and basically Tony Griff, internationally recognized agricultural engineer, a professor at the University of Illinois, who is a United States citizen. I think I talked about that some months ago when he became a U.S. citizen. That was a very exciting day for him. We had some guys over, and Loria cooked that fantastic spaghetti, but I want to do a shout-out because one of Tony's close friends, Martin Bonn, he's from Germany. He recently, I think within the last few weeks, became a U.S. citizen. So way to go, Martin. Congratulations. We welcome you into our country and into our brotherhood of USAers. And I know Martin's going to be heading to Australia soon. And so Godspeed and welcome and congratulations on being a U.S. citizen. And also Professor Mike Vito. And I never knew that U of I has a fencing club. And so they were talking about fencing. I said, that's very interesting. Do you have like tournaments and such? And he said, oh, yeah. And so I've scheduled to see how this fencing goes on at U of I. So Mike's a new listener. He didn't know at all about this radio ministry. So shout out to Mike and stay tuned in, Mike. I think God will have a message to speak to you through our broadcast, through the ministry of music, or through some of the devotional thoughts. We're a Christian radio station, which means we honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet we want to point everyone towards God's love. And he has a plan and purpose, I believe, for everyone, and it's to draw close to him, to know his son, the Lord Jesus. It's to bring healing and hope and purpose to your life, and hopefully then to be effective in kingdom work. And that can be lots of different things, whether you're serving on the mission field overseas, or whether you're raising kids, or you're working in an accounting firm, and you're just treating people with the love of Christ. There's lots of ways to serve God, and we're all called to be kingdom builders in our realm of influence. So lots of things to talk about, but let me begin with a reading out of 1 Corinthians 1, and I'll read verses 3 and 4. And Pastor Randy referred to this as he's in the midst of a series on thriving in tough times, not to just survive, but to thrive. And this verse has taken on some great meaning in light of some of the things I've been going through. And before I read it, I'll point out one thing, because so many of you have heard about our dogs, Beamer and Scouty. Scouty's been with us about 13 years, and Beamer's our 2-year-old golden retriever. I call him our miniature golden because he's a little tinier. He's only 55 pounds, where all of our other goldens are usually 80 to 100 pounds. Well, Scouty went to doggy heaven on Saturday, and that was a very, very sad day. But you've heard us talk about Scouty over the years. It was Carrie's running buddy for so many of the years, but thank you, God, that he worked swiftly. And she wasn't seeming well the last few days. And then Saturday morning when I woke up, she was still warm, but I dug her a grave. And those of you that know how much we talk about our pets, they're like family. But Scouty's in a good place, and it was quick. She went peacefully. So that's a little update. But 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, praise be to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. What an encouraging verse. And sometimes we go through trials and tribulations and heartache so that we can better not only receive the love and the tender care that God provides, but as we're those recipients, we can then help others go through maybe similar life crises or similar losses or similar situations where we just need some loving care and concern and compassion. And so those of you that are dog lovers know what I'm going through. And I just love, like our opening theme song, you've heard it many times, the fellowship is sweeter. And I've had some of the best friends model what it means to be caring, to be compassionate, to be loving. And if I could model to others what my friends have been modeling to me the last few months, and even in light of Scouty's, I guess you would call it homegoing, just to reach out and to care, to listen. I had a number of texts from friends, and it's just been neat to see how God has raised up so many wonderful people, and I just love it because I want to be like them to others. So if you don't have those kind of friends around you, maybe you need to be the one to initiate to others today, to be a listening ear, to be those arms and hands of God to show love or just extend courtesy or just sit with them or buy them a lunch or treat them out. But if you're one that needs somebody like that, why don't you be the one that initiates first and then see how God uses you? And then I'm sure he'll bring alongside others to comfort you also. So let me quickly highlight a couple things that I want to talk about before I introduce this special guest in the studio. And I'm thinking, all right, Jennifer, we're going to probably keep you for 2 days. But before I introduce Jennifer Guerin, let me highlight a couple things that I learned this past Sunday about not just surviving, but thriving. And an interesting point that Pastor Randy made was God does not need good to make good. He can take bad and make good. And that's the neat thing about God. He can take a bad situation, circumstance, whatever, and make good out of it. He doesn't need just our good to make good. But Pastor Randy said, you know, oftentimes many of us can just look at life, I'm just going to survive through this, and I'm just going to deal with it, and this is what I'm destined to be like. And he said, no, God wants us to thrive in our situation, or even in those tough circumstances when our whys aren't answered, when sometimes they just don't go away. We remain, why God? And he said, well, if you worship and grow and serve, many times God will give you answers to various things in life. And so he said, one thing to do is to talk to God about it. And he referenced James 5:13. But if you have some weighty issues going on in your life, if you're kind of dealing with those refining fires, talk to God about it. Secondly, keep the tough times in perspective. Sometimes we get a bent kind of mindset because we're overwhelmed by the situation, but keep it in perspective. Keep trusting God. That would be a third thing to be mindful of. Just keep trusting God. Even though you don't understand some things, just keep trusting Him. Fourth, make your goal the presence of God and not the absence of suffering. That's a real powerful one. Make your goal the presence of God. Meet with God. Seek after Him. And not just to be having the situation absolved or the absence of the suffering. You know, as you suffer, continue to seek your goal being knowing God better. And then let suffering teach you and shape your life. There's probably a reason you're going through it, and maybe it is like that 2 Corinthians 1:4 where it can be used to help others, but let suffering teach you. Learn through what you're going through. And then God does not bail on us or just dump on us, even when it's because of our own sin, or maybe He's disciplining us, but He's not going to bail on us. He's going to love us through it and recognize that He won't dump on you. He's going to be right there with you. The seventh thing to be mindful of is God already did something about our suffering. He absorbed it all in the suffering of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you, Pastor Randy. You hit one out of the park on that message on Sunday, and I appreciate your dedication to dividing God's Word. And as we know, God never wastes His children's pain. That's a quote he gave from Amy Carmichael. The circumstances or the things you're going through, yes, they might be tragic. I don't want to ever minimize the pain or the suffering or the heartache, But God won't waste that. He'll use it in some way for his kingdom purposes. And it might have just been to refine a situation that you needed to work through. But oftentimes he'll allow it to bring healing to others and hope. So just recognize he's not going to waste it. And as you draw closer to him and he draws closer to you, you will see that there will be a real reason for it. Or maybe it won't be answered, but he's a good God and we can trust him. Well, with that said, I have a lady in the studio, a daughter of the King, somebody who follows Almighty God and has been refined through life experiences, through a variety of different things she's been involved in. She's lived locally for many years. In fact, she's a graduate of the U of I in the 70s, and she got her bachelor's of fine arts in theater. She met her husband in church, and she's got an interesting faith story. We'll see how Jennifer wants to share some of those snapshots from her life. But she met her husband a little over 32 years ago because they've been married, and they have three children. And basically, two of those children are twins. So at one point, she had three children in diapers, and that's one of her greatest achievements. She survived because her husband wanted the cotton. What was in the old-fashioned days, what kind of diapers did you use?
Well, he is an environmental researcher, and so it was important for us to use the cloth diapers.
Yes.
So we had lots of diapers.
You survived three children in diapers at the same time for a number of months. You attend the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, and wonderful pastor Herb and Cheryl Coates, they helped lead that church, and they were on our recent trip to Israel in this past December. I love those two. We talked about Pastor Herb. He had memorized Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and I was telling Jennifer before we went on the air, I said, he kind of just got up there. We're on the Mount of Beatitudes overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and he began with, blessed are the, and he just spoke all the words of Jesus, and it wasn't like he was trying to over-dramatize, but he sat down a few times. He got up, crossed his arms, he pointed, and he was just wonderful. It was a powerful transformational moment as we're hearing the words of Jesus on location, and yet he had them all memorized, and so it was wonderful. So he pastors at your church. It's been great getting to know him. And you and I met up, I guess, maybe 8 or so years ago, because I had a concept in my mind about a Great News Radio drama team, and I knew you were very involved in drama locally. I know you've taught at Judah Christian School. You've been involved in many different things locally. But I think your greatest claim to fame is that you made the Great News Radio banner out here as you came into the studio.
Right?
I mean, your name's been up in bright lights, I know, maybe Virginia Theater and other places where you performed and presented. But you made the Great News Radio banner here. You had a flight show. Did you like that?
Oh, it just about blinded me.
I have this little thing when I have guests come down to the studio. I put their name on our board, and we'll probably have that pictured with Jennifer on our website, greatnewsradio.org. But I always flick the light, so it's like a little light show or something. I don't know. I always get a response out of everyone because they're wondering, what are you doing? And then they see their name. But Jennifer, you've been used of God in a number of ways. Some months back, you were doing some drama and puppet shows in schools in Amman, Jordan. You've done drama locally here in a number of venues. So let's see. I want to talk a little about what you're going to be doing at Parkland College in February, but do you mind sharing a few snapshots into your life, what brought you to this area? And there's a love story where you met your husband in church, but it really was a point in your life where you came to faith later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you came to faith after you graduated from the U of I, and you're attending the church, and you met lovely Bill there. So maybe a few snapshots before you met Bill, and then, you know, what happened from the time of meeting Bill to the present?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was raised in the church up till about 13 or 14, and I always really felt a relationship with God. I can remember that. I found a postcard from Christmas that my mother had written about how much I liked two-year-old Sunday school, so it's not as if I was bereft before that. But I went through a really hard time through about the age of 13 all the way until I received the Lord. Lots of very traumatic things happened in my family. So it was then that I truly became born again. Yes, it was right after I had graduated in 77, and I knew that it was really important for me to get grounded in the Word. And so even though I had some pretty exciting opportunities in Chicago at that time,
and
I decided to stay here.
And this was with acting and...
Yeah, I decided to stay here and find out what it meant to be a Christian. So I did the suffering servant thing and worked in a warehouse, an unheated warehouse for a while, and did that kind of stuff. And I received the Lord at New Covenant Fellowship, which is now located in downtown Champaign. At the time, they were in Thornburn and in a gymnasium, and that's where I met my present husband. This is a funny story because he noticed me when I was playing Mary in the little Christmas skit. So, you know, one always wonders, what exactly is he attracted to? Because playing Mary in the Christmas skit, I don't know that I could really fulfill, you know, his expectations. So we joke about that. But the cute part about that is that then later on, it would have been about 4 years later, they were doing that skit again, and I was heavy with twins. And I asked him if he would play Joseph. And so, you know, I think it's probably the only time he's ever been on stage with me. He only had one line, I remember, but he agreed to do Joseph. So, yeah, that was.
Now, when you talked a little about coming to Christ or the born-again experience, growing up knowing, you know, maybe the biblical narrative, there's a God who loves us and, you know, he has a plan and purpose for a life, or, you know, Jesus came to die for our sins and we can't earn our way into heaven. So many of us grow up maybe knowing some of that, but was there somebody that really had those scriptures come alive where you knew that you knew God really did love you, even though there was some heartache, some suffering, you know, God, where were you? Why do you allow certain things to happen? Was there a breakthrough that it finally made sense, or you really said, Lord, I'm going to surrender? Because I know you had those opportunities in Chicago, and yet you said, you know, I'm going to really get grounded in God's Word. I'm going to study. I'm going to read. I'm going to get to know what it means to be a follower of Jesus or what it means to be a Christian. But was it the church? Was it a pastor? What really made it real and truthful and clear in your mind?
Well, I remember my drama teacher at the time at the University of Illinois said something to me, and this was right before I had received the Lord, and he said, of anybody in this class, I feel that you could actually make it in drama, but your heart's not in it. Mm-hmm. And I said, you're right, it's not. And I knew that there was a hole in my heart, and I'd looked many places and still hadn't found the thing that was fulfilling. And I also had a feeling that it wasn't going to be something that I would do, accomplishments, any kind of other thing like that. And I truly needed a wholeness that I didn't have. Mm-hmm. And I actually was one of those people that just about explored everything you could imagine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, all the Eastern religions, all the different things I did. It was when a friend took me to a service at New Covenant, which was meeting then, back then, at the Canaan Baptist Church that is meeting there now. And the communion was coming around, and I just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take this communion. And, you know, in the boldness of a new believer, said, you know, you have to prove to me that you're real and true. Hmm. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to stick around. And I took that communion, and it was like my life changed. Mm-hmm.
You knew that you knew.
Yeah. I think the big thing was that I experienced the surrendering of myself to God and what he could do. And to actually finally release myself into his love was a huge relief.
Right.
You know, yeah.
You know, I think, Jennifer, probably what you're sharing can be echoed with many of our listeners. You know, a time where, because of life experiences, that surrendering to God is enormous. I mean, many people just almost never get to that point because they've never realized the true character of God, that he's loving, that he's caring, because life's suffering, life's pain, life's trauma, heartache has so scarred us that we almost can't even entertain that there is a God that loves us, that cares, that couldn't allow those things to happen. I mean, I have a lot of Jewish friends that one of their biggest obstacles to loving God is the Holocaust. How could a loving God allow that to happen? And you really can't give it just a pat answer. There's no easy way to explain that away. It's a tragedy. The best you can even do is that God welled up, he teared over, Yes, he did allow it to happen. He's sovereign. He's in control of all things, but he does allow mankind to do atrocities. I mean, there's no really easy answer, but we just know the character of God, that he's a good God. And if we can just focus on that and allow him to manifest himself through his truth, through his word, through good, godly people, we can get glimpses of him, and then we can more and more surrender parts of us to him. Well, I just hope that maybe somebody tuned in that's wrestling through some struggles or feeling abandoned of God will give him another chance, or just entertain the idea that he does care, that he does want to work in and through your hurt. He wants to bring healing and wholeness. And then just give him a little part, or entertain the idea that he does want to meet with you. And we would just pray that through that quiet time, he'll reveal himself to you. And maybe it can be a new birth in you, or a new start, or a way that you'll give him a little more of yourself. That would be our wholehearted desire, that today all of us would draw closer to him. And his word does say in James 4:8, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Well, I'm going to ask you, Jennifer, if you can come back tomorrow. We're going to talk about this exciting outing that you're going to have at Parkland College on February 4th. And we're going to talk about that, how you've put this together. It's going to be a comedy drama that you've written. And we'd like to know a little more of how God put that on your heart or mind, because I know you have another play in your mind and heart you've had for a number of years. So we're going to have you back and talk about that. And there'll be a lot of other things that we can talk about, including our great event at the Virginia Theater coming on Thursday, March 29th. And tickets are on sale at the Virginia Theater. We'll say more about the Christian Classic Tour with Steve Green, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson, and Michael Card. And you can find out more information by calling the station, 217-367-7777. The Virginia Theater, if you want to order tickets, it's 217-586-9063. Or you can purchase tickets online at thevirginia.org. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.